Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's BudPod 1-3-4.
1-3-4. Give me more. We will. Of BudPod.
It's a kind of wonky arrangement of numbers, isn't it? 1-3-4. It makes your eye sort of go, gull.
Yeah, I know. Because your mind is looking for the two. It's looking for the two, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're looking at 1-3-4 and you're like, there's something wrong here. There's something missing.
You're running...
Your mind's looking for the two.
You're running up and down the wooden stairs. Oh, where? Throwing open cupboard doors. Where's the two? You cry. But the house is silent.
You're interrogating three like Batman. Where is he? Well, two is a she, of course, as we've covered many episodes ago. Where is she?
Yes, two is a gal.
Two, three, and four are gals. Got the lucky one is the only fella in that mix.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. Also, apologies to any listeners who can hear another round outside of what I like to call London's mysteriously constant drilling.
There's always construction noises in London, and I just think, I'm sorry, I thought we already had buildings. You know what I mean? It's like, buildings as far as I can see, and what's this? The sound of more building? But they're already there. You wouldn't expect a chef to come over to your pizza at your table and be like, well, here's the oven, let's put the pizza back in.
I wouldn't expect that. Ever.
No, you'd be surprised if that
happened.
I'd
be appalled. Mm. What I don't understand is whether or not it's good. Like, so there's a thing I do, Phil, now, because I used to get annoyed about stuff. And what I do now, Phil, is I make up a story in my head about why it's not annoying.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So
that's yeah. Good. You're tricking yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So if someone is like sat next to me on a train and they're absolutely... You know, open mouth chewing their way through a sack of grapes or something.
A sack, yeah.
I can
make a hemp sack of loose grapes.
Sack of loose grapes, like you can buy from any grape vendor on any train station platform in this country. I will make up in my head, like, maybe he's got like a deviated septum, you know, like his nose is all fucked up. So yeah. He has to chew with his mouth open, otherwise he can't breathe. Oh, what an unlucky man, I'll think, instead of what an awful piece of shit. So I've got this like...
So your misophonia is so bad, you've had to invent a fictional world for yourself.
Oh, it's...
Where everyone has a legitimate reason to be eating with their mouths open.
Yeah, it's... I do it with everything. I just make up a little story.
You're basically Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind. You've gone mad.
Yeah, I've gone insane. In an attempt.
Yeah, and you're... Right.
In an attempt...
And you're seeing the world as more... Like, your life is going better than it is.
Well, it's in an attempt to not be as angry a person. Or as irritated. I suppose irritated is a better word than angry. But in order to be a less irritated person, I just make up like an alternative scenario. I'm not saying it's definitely why, but I'm thinking, well, you don't know. Ah... Perhaps.
And is this a technique you've developed yourself, or is it an established form of treatment?
A wizard whispered it to me through a wall in a dungeon. No, I think I don't know, actually. I don't know if I stumbled across this on some bullshit subreddit, or if I've made this up myself, or some sort of therapy-based source. It could be anything. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Regarding the drilling noises, maybe it's good. Is it good for a city to be constantly building? Does that mean that we're in a good city instead of a decaying one?
Hmm, but it must be decaying in order to require all that repair, right? It's a sign of a healthy economy. Or is it just a sign of a healthy construction industry? I think it might be that.
Yeah, which is one of the possible signs of a healthy economy, but not necessarily.
It's the largest industry... Well, it's the largest section of the British economy is construction, followed by services, right?
Yeah, that sounds right, given that everything here is fucking old and needs to constantly be, like, tinkered with instead of just knocked down.
Yeah, sometimes I think, you know what Britain could have done with? A good old bombing in the Second World War. I mean, I knew we were bombed, but compared to Japan and Germany, nothing. And look at their trains, you know what I mean?
That's true. If the Germans had been better at hitting train tracks instead of major population centres... Maybe we'd have better trains. That's true. I mean, in the north, they still have those fucking diesel trains. It's pretty outrageous. They're not even electrified.
Oh, shit.
Have you ever got one of those trains that goes from, like, the right-hand side of the north to the left-hand side? So you sort of, like, York to Manchester? Trans-Pennine?
Oh, the Trans-Pennine? Mm-hmm.
But you know how it's like...
Oh, those diesel boys.
Yeah, it's like two carriages and this, like this insane engine with, like, smoke coming out.
Yeah, it's like a sort of the kind of train a snobby southerner would imagine still is in use in the north.
Yeah,
one that literally chugs out black smoke.
A big industrial smoke chugging train full of happy northerners openly chatting to each other even though they're strangers.
Yeah, awful awful all around.
I still remember the transition of going from the kind of slightly chatting to strangers in public to not doing it at all when I moved from the northern half of this country to the south.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt the cultural shift, Phil. I felt it.
I'm so proud. I don't think I can really call myself a southerner because I've only been here since I was 16, but if there's one thing I'm proud of regionally... It is our reticence to talk to strangers. And when a northerner says, oh, down south, no one talks to one another. Like a single tear of pride just rolls down my cheek. And I go, you're damn right we don't.
You look like one of those propaganda paintings of like communists staring into the sunset, you know?
Like, yeah, I'm puffing my chest up and I got my hands on my hips. And got this big burly chest. And an angular face.
An angular face and like one of those the hats with ear flaps. We don't have as good... I will say this, though. I was going to say we don't have as good propaganda these days / in this country, but the coronavirus period had some pretty good propaganda.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? Hands, face, space.
It was like yellow and red. Yellow and black like stripes, like it's a crime scene.
Yeah. It all got a bit V for Vendetta for a moment.
Yeah. There. Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Very, very Airstrip 1.
Stay home.
A good citizen avoids the virus. A great citizen stays home and never gets the virus.
Citizen 734MZ, you are past your curfew. And like a big spotlight. And it's a bald, what's her face? What's the actor? In V for Vendetta.
Oh, it's not Keira Knightley, is it?
No, it's American.
Oh, of course.
She's Padme.
Oh, yes.
And in Black Swan.
Oh, it's, this is gonna bug me.
I swear the act of saying what's that actor's name makes the listener forget the person's name.
Yeah, apart from all the people yelling at us now. Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman shaved Natalie Portman running through the streets. You gotta hand it to communist propaganda. It had a real look. And what was amazing, what I've never really understood, and there might be a perfectly simple historical reason for this, which you'll tell me, is how consistent communist propaganda and communist aesthetic was from Russia all the way through to China, through basically North Korea. Like, the look is the same. Why
yes.
is the look the same?
Well, it's a style. It's called socialist realism.
Yeah, okay. So, and so were there people literally coming over from Russia going to China being like, so you draw the lines at this angle and you use this font?
Well, they certainly, they would say like, this is like the best kind of propaganda because it's, so part of the style comes from the fact that you need to, it needs to make sense to illiterate peasants, right? So if it's too abstract, like early on in communist Russia, Soviet Russia, you had some pretty cool abstract stuff in World War II. And then after World War II, they were really like, they really hated like abstract art. Like they were kind of a little Nazi-ish about sort of decadent, abstract, weird art. They were quite, if you wanted to get ahead in life, you wanted them those hyper-realistic paintings of ruddy-cheeked farmers who were absolutely shredded. That's what you wanted. And they had like government departments, you know, they had like a house style, I suppose you could say.
You're trying to appeal to Joe Vasilev on the street.
That's right. Just your average Vasily. Yeah. The irony, there's a good article somewhere online. Do your own Googling because I'm too lazy, everyone. About how, maybe it was John Gray in one of his books. Anyway, the point is, he said that if it was him, he was saying that socialist realism is kind of ironic because it wasn't really, it could either be socialist or realism in terms of like depicting what Russia was actually like or what China was actually like, because it would so often be focused on what socialism would be like, right? Like sort of flying cars and like these beautiful buildings. It was very rarely a hyper-realistic painting of a university-educated commissar begging a beet farmer to, you know, show him where the hoard of beets was that didn't actually exist.
Yeah.
Very rarely actually about what was going on the ground. Yeah. But you know, it does all look exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta hand it to
maybe them. You should start doing tour posters in that format, maybe.
Yeah, I think that might be cool.
Get a commission a real painter to do it, and then you have the amazing poster and you have a painting for your house.
Oh yes, my house of the bare walls. The house of bare walls.
your empty, echoing Mrs. Havisham.
I have put a couple of things up. I was saying to you, it's like in a video game where you have a base, and between missions, when you come back to the base, you notice like more stuff has been set up, or like the Assassin's Creed team have been unpacking more boxes and putting out more computers while you've been out on your missions. It's like that. Well, every time I come back to my house, there's a couple more bits I put up.
Well, you completed the jungle mission and now there's like a big mask in the corner.
Exactly.
And then if you scroll the cursor over it, it's like a kind of really like stupid summary of like a few. Who knew that deep in the jungle there was a temple full of blah, blah, blah. But I guess in the end, justice won out. It'd be like some stupid summary of your mission.
Yeah, I can walk if I walk next to it, I can press interact. And
yeah, and you keep doing it accidentally because you're trying to chase an NPC around the room and talk to them about the next mission.
Press interact and I just go, well, that was a crazy day. I'm trying to make some breakfast. Yeah.
Yeah, or you click it and go, I wonder if I could wear the mask. Or the really passive-aggressive video games where eventually it comes up and goes, you are bored of looking at the mask.
Yeah, some games don't let you do it forever. Yeah. Sometimes they'll just take away the option of interacting. They'll just go, no, you've had enough.
Yeah, you're done with the mask for today.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fucking hell.
Last night, Pierre, was my final tour show in Brighton, and you were there, and you were there, and you were there, and you were there, Pierre.
I was there, yeah.
It was a lovely show in Brighton Theatre Royal. So I want to thank everyone for coming, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank everyone for coming to all the tour shows. It was lovely and nice to finally get it done. And thanks for holding on to your tickets for 2 years. but it was really fun. Pierre opened the show last night, and he had to explain away a white bandage on his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like you'd been gassed in the Somme, and the medic had slipped and put the bandage on the wrong, like just a few inches too high. You looked like you were coming back from some battle you'd been conscripted into.
I think I looked a bit like someone playing like injured man in a school play.
yeah, because the bandage, like, it's rectangular, but perfectly, I have to say, perfectly in the center of your forehead.
Yeah, it doesn't look like, if I was a skeptical, you know, employer or something, I'd be like, well, you can't, no injury is that exactly in the middle of anyone's face. It has to be fake. Although the injury is not in the middle of my face, and I amused Phil's audience by claiming that it was my new forehead swastika tattoo, which was fun. Yes, that's right, Phil. Head injury had to be explained away. I sprayed lamb juice in my own face, which I said last night is not a euphemism.
I'm about to spray lamb juice. No, that's horrible.
Oh, God.
It's disgusting.
Why would it be lamb juice? You threw your dick the lamb.
Sometimes I call my penis the shank.
My the shank is good.
Yeah.
The leg, the shoulder. Yeah, I call my penis the lamb because people say Jesus Christ when they see it. That kind of works. But then there's no need to start going on about lamb juice. That's horrible.
Yeah, that's gross. But you actually mean lamb juice. You burnt yourself with lamb juice.
Juice of a lamb. Yes.
You sprayed your forehead with lamb juice like you were being baptized in the Church of Lamb. Yeah. Like you were a baby getting baptized.
Mm-hmm. So what I was doing was I was slow roasting a leg of lamb, and it was a big old boy. I went to the I was in the supermarket, Phil, and I didn't even go to the meat aisle, Phil. I went straight to the butcher.
Straight to the source. Mm-hmm. Buddy, I need you to head back in there and get me something custom. Have you ever heard a leg of lamb?
I couldn't help but notice that you, in the aisles, you sell half legs to half men. I demand a whole leg, a haunch, if you will. So I went to the counter and I said, listen up, butch. Give me that 2.5 kilogram leg over there.
Wow.
And they wrapped it up and handed it over. And then when you're cooking it, slow cooking it, it's got to be in a pot with a lid, Phil.
Yep.
In the oven.
And
halfway up its surface, whatever, with water and all the herbs and things that you put in with the water to create the lamb liquor, the stock.
So half submerged.
Half submerged. And then flip that bitch every hour.
Right, okay.
Got to flip them. So I took out the bitch, and just as I was trying to flip the bitch with two spoons, the big old heavy lamb leg boy just tumbled back into the... Well, it kind of slipped under the spoon because it was all wet with juices.
Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
The spoon slipped. And uh-huh. So I want you to imagine, Phil, that the spoon, I'm holding it over arm with the concave facing towards me because I'm trying to spoon the lamb towards me to flip it.
Right, like you're playing lacrosse with a spoon.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, but I'm using two spoons. So the left hand has got the underspoon, as it were.
Okay, so you're a dual-wielding lacrosse player.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and as I'm trying to flip this thing towards me to roll it, the spoon slips and twangs, and like Dennis the Menace spoon catapults boiling lamb juice right into my face.
Oh, wow, yeah. And was there like hot fat in there as well?
There was hot fat, there was bits of garlic and ginger, you name
well,
it.
Well, hot fat. That sounds... Ooh.
Well, hot fat.
Garlic
hot.
And ginger.
We all remember that particular jazz trio, Phil. Hot fat, garlic and ginger.
Well, it sounds like this was a delicious injury, at the very least. Your face must have tasted very good, even if it was in a lot of pain.
Oh, my forehead has never been more well layered in flavor.
But that does sound really horrible. And you're saying last night, like, it was that level of pain where you didn't even swear.
Yeah, it was a moment of like complete silence as I just checked to see if I'd blinded myself.
That quiet panic when you realize you've done something really bad to yourself. It's just a quiet, white hot panic. Like your brain isn't even giving energy to saying anything because you're just trying to figure out what's happened, what the level of damage is, what the solution is. Yeah, it's terrifying.
I immediately, in like silent like horror, just got all the ice cubes out, and then I remembered that you're not supposed to put ice cubes on burns, and I was like,
really?
This bowl of ice cubes, yeah.
Why?
Yeah, because you can get like freezer burn as well. Like it's going from one extreme to the other.
Double burn! Holy shit!
Yeah, it should be cold water, not ice water.
When you first splashed that hot lime juice on your forehead, was it that kind of hot where at first it doesn't feel like hot? Like for the first split second, it feels almost like cold. It's just like this kind of blank, like
blank feeling.
Yeah, like a blank feeling. It's like your body's going, okay, something's happened here. Time to decide what it is.
Yeah, exactly. It was basically my body going, something big's going down in Forehead Town. We're not sure if it's hot or cold yet, but
get the boffins
more
on
as
it.
We get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then as the pain hits, you go,
yeah, ugh.
Instead of even swearing. And then I Captain America'd the boiling hot lid across the fucking room. And then later, while I was still, like, I was turning down hobs because I was boiling stuff as well on the hobs. I was like, turn down the fire before you deal with anything else. Get rid of all the fire. And then as I was turning off all the fire, then I was like, oh, get the lid. I have to put the thing back in, get the lid. And I just picked up the lid and then almost burnt my fingertips really badly.
Fucking
because, of
hell.
Course, the lid was hot, Philip.
Yeah, because it's been in the oven. This is putting a whole pot in the oven is fucking terrifying because... When you're boiling it on the stove, you're like, okay, I've got a good idea. The bottom of the pot is going to be very hot. And then it's sort of getting cooler and cooler along up the sides. And the handles are fine and the lid is fine. But when it's been in the oven, you take it out, it looks the same. It doesn't look hot. It isn't glowing like in a cartoon.
Yeah.
But it's so hot. It's all equally hot.
It's insane. And every time... A lot of the limitations of my cookery, Phil, has just been like the fear of like, well, if I put a pot in the oven, it will explode.
Yeah.
Because the idea of going like, okay, get something that's quite reactive and will boil and release steam, and then seal it nice and tight and put it in a hot sealed box. You're like, oh, like a bomb.
Like an improvised explosive.
Oh, you mean like a bomb? Like a bomb would be.
Like something from the Hurt Locker. Can you? Whenever I hurt myself like that in the kitchen, I just think, imagine if I had kids as well. Like, can you imagine if you're making this stuff and you've got tiny idiots running around who are your legal obligation to keep safe, and you just these glowing white hot things that they want to smack off the counter at any opportunity.
There's nothing, and also like the stuff that is like boiling hot napalm is the food that they want to eat. It would be different if it was like a glowing, boiling hot, you know, spike made of homework or something that they hated. But it's not. It's delicious food, Phil.
Oh, yeah, isn't that the life-giving food that they want for a period is... life-threatening, so dangerous, like a bomb, as you say. And you have to handle it like it's nuclear waste.
I've always thought... Also, like, it took me a while to get used to... it was only when I moved to London in 2013, really, that I'd ever had gas hobs.
Yeah, you're saying...
It's all electricity in South Africa and in my house where I grew up on the Isle of Man as well. And the idea that you would go like, oh, we have a constant flowing supply of explosive gas into every house is fucking mad to me still.
Well, not this year, Pierre. Don't even read the news.
Yeah. If you say goodbye to that, Pierre, no worries these days.
I have... So the house I've moved into is an induction hob. Yeah, which is like electrical, but fancier. Like, it's like Star Trek electrical. It induces, hence the word induction, it induces the heat in the pan itself by alternating a magnetic field, so it gets a current moving in the metal, and that, you know, as we all know, Pierre, from IR squared, that's the heat power if you have a current going through a resistive metal. But anyway, I was really worried about it. I was like, oh no, induction, that's so lame. And then the second I moved here, the gas prices quadrupled.
Oh yeah.
And I was
good
like,
timing.
Yeah, maybe someone upstairs is looking after old Wang. it's quite cool, the induction. It's kind of like magic. Like, it doesn't, you know, it's so counterintuitive for a monkey brain that is only now getting to grips with the idea of fire.
Yes. Yes, yeah, where they go, well, now this is fire that appears inside itself magically. In the thing you're heating.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That is nuts. I mean, that's the main reason why people like gas normally, is that it's like a quarter or half the price of electricity, so it is cheaper. But now, maybe we're just going to become a full electric country.
Yeah, I was talking to someone who's like, don't even bother trying to get it replaced, because in a few years, the government might even like say no more gas hobs. Or like,
yeah,
that sounds impossible to achieve.
They're already doing it with boilers.
Really? You can't get a gas
boiler?
Yeah,
you can, but it has to be like a combi.
Oh yeah, okay.
Because, and I know this because I have an enormous ancient gas boiler, and I am aware that that is not something that one can have done to one's house anymore. Or certainly not like a new manufactured one. I don't think they make them anymore. I don't know. It's a hell of a... I mean, I guess you do that because of stuff being replaced, right? And then eventually you just go... It's like when they turned off... when they changed FM radio, or they said you can't pick up your pension at the post office anymore. It's a big societal shift to a more efficient system, and you just have to try and kill as few old people as possible by doing it.
Mm-hmm. I get you.
So they'll just be like, no more gas, and they'll be like... There will be, Phil, a fucking leaflet every week, constant TV adverts, bus stations, like, gas is being cut off. Your gas is being cut off, brackets, but don't worry, ours is too. Or something like that. And still, it'll do that for like 5 years. And still, the day after they cut it off, there'll be an article in a red top newspaper about nanas freezing to death.
Yeah.
Gransicles.
God, I wish energy was free. From time to time, Pierre, I just go, I wish there was endless energy.
Imagine.
I honestly fantasize about an unlimited source of renewable energy being discovered or invented.
You mean the sun?
Well, even that's not
yes,
unlimited.
I know what you mean. Well, a few billion years, you know.
Yeah, I guess I want...
It's, I do agree, though. I do that as well, because I'm also a normal, relatable guy. just imagine if they figured out cold fusion, then you just did anything. Oh. Just constant lights and machines always going.
Can you imagine the geopolitical consequences? We won't have to take...
Oh, any,
we won't have to,
any
we won't
country
ha-
with oil...
We wouldn't have to listen to the Saudis about anything ever fucking again. Everyone in Saudi Arabia would just go, like, every non-Saudis would be like, bye, fuck you. And all the Saudis go, but remember us? And we just leave them.
They'd have to start selling oil to hipsters. Like, oh, it's like an older, cool way of heating stuff. Guy, remember fossil fuel? Ah, retro, cool. I guess the Saudi Arabian, well, like the Gulf generally would just return to being what it was before, where like the only industry was like a kind of mid-stop on the spice trade, pearl diving, and like exporting like the few crops that grow around the edge.
Yeah.
Just back to nothing again, really. Imagine, God.
It'd be quite a thing. I mean, I think the last couple of administrations have been trying to pivot away from oil. I think they kind of see the writing on the wall. But
even, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Also, yeah. Infinite energy. One of the reasons that we don't turn salt water into fresh water is because it uses electrolysis and it uses like an insanely expensive amount of energy. It's just not worth it. If you had infinite energy, you could just have an infinite supply of fresh water anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Just from the fucking sea.
Man. I want infinite energy.
Get on it, boffins.
Santa baby, hurry down, give me energy for free. I've been an awful good boy, Santa baby. Endless sustainable energy tonight. That I'm working on that song for this Christmas.
It's Wang's number one to raise money for cold fusion scientists. Just £2 billion a month could fund a plasma fusion experimental dome.
There's a significant step made in the fusion, wasn't there, a couple of months back?
Yeah, they keep getting better and better at heating, superheating plasma. Yeah.
No, is that what's required?
Yeah, I think so. That's something like that. Something to do with plasma. But then there's always like, it's always like a big news article every time they get like 0.01 times, you know, to the power minus a million more energy from something. So big steps in theory, but they always joke that cold fusion is one of those technologies that's always a few, like 7 years away.
Hopefully.
Or if we just get really into safe, like thorium-based nuclear power, and then it'd be fine.
Thorium? Why do you know so much about Chinese nuclear power?
I've been researching this because there was an interesting article about... Let's find it. Chinese thorium. Yes, that's right. So thorium is a... It's like it's not as nuclear... It's not as radioactive as uranium and plutonium. Like you can't make weapons out of it. But it does work. Like they had working thorium reactors in like the 60s, but it just wasn't as good. So here we go. Scientists are excited. I love that when an article opens with that. Scientists are excited. Just, you know, scientists.
You just imagine all these people in white coats just jumping up and down in a lab. Yeah.
I imagine someone already fully dressed as a scientist waking up in bed and jumping out. And going, yeah! Yeah! Science!
Ooh, yeah, woohoo!
like in American movies where kids in those little pajamas wake up on Christmas morning. They run downstairs. Woohoo, yeah, snow day, yeah! Just a house full of little scientists all... full of joy.
So scientists are excited. Yeah.
Scientists are excited, Phil, about an experimental nuclear reactor using thorium as fuel, which is about to begin tests in China. Although it's been tried before, experts say China is the first to have a shot at commercializing the technology, like good communists. The reactor is unusual in that it has molten salts circulating inside it instead of water.
Molten salt as a coolant?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Molten salt. Molten salt, dirt like sun. It's texture like sun.
What's a rhyme for thorium?
Yeah. It cools down the thorium. Ah, missed the beat. God damn it. Trying to scare the thorium. It cools down the my thorium. Lovely thorium. They'll do. Okay, so it's molten, like molten sea salt. Wait, is it molten salt or molden salt? Because that's a lovely salt.
Well, it could be molten molden salt.
Okay. I am not loyal to anything as much as I am to molden sea salt flakes. I didn't know you can make salt better, but anyway, this is free publicity now, and we really should reach out.
Delicious, 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 still sodium, what is it? Sodium oxide? No.
Sodium nitrate? Isn't that like a poison?
Isn't that cyanide?
Isn't it just sodium?
Sodium chloride.
Sodium chloride.
This is a science-y episode. I quite like this.
It is. We're bloody QI over here.
Oh, Professor Brian Cox will be on to whisper at you in a bit. We could be one of those patronizing Radio 4 science. Salt? But that's molten? Well, that's the kind of... Whoa! Like that sort of voice. So it has molten. I was going to say molten molden salt sounds like a Norwegian writer.
Another chilling thriller from molten molden salt.
yeah. And long listed for the Booker Prize, the chilling surreal horror by molten molden salt. So it has the potential to produce nuclear energy that is relatively safe and cheap, whilst also generating a much smaller amount of long-lived radioactive waste than conventional reactors.
Mm.
And they're doing it in the Gobi Desert, Phil.
Gobi.
Gobi.
Only good things happen in the desert.
That's right. And thorium is much more plentiful than uranium, and it is weakly radioactive, silvery metal found in rocks, and it has little current industrial use. It's a waste product of the rare earth mining industry in China, so it's very attractive.
Ooh, yum, yum, yum. Mm-hmm. Yes, please. Morium, thorium. Yum. Thank you very much. Let's have some morium.
yes. I think maybe it'll be it. Maybe... It's not cost-effective because it's more expensive to extract than uranium at the moment. Oh, okay. But the Chinese have loads of it anyway. Well, hopefully this will be it.
Thorium.
Maybe this will be it, Phil. We'll have to ignore China's other disgraceful behavior because they've got all this sweet, sweet energy. Mm-hmm. But they need energy, boy. They can't use coal forever because coal comes from Australia and the Australians hate them.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, China's been fucking with Australian wine and stuff true. As well.
Yeah. That's the
you could biggest. Buy more Australian wine in solidarity, Phil. That's a good excuse.
You can buy more Australian wine. What?
In like solidarity.
Oh yes, of course. I already do. I just didn't know it.
yeah. If you needed an excuse to just stock up on sweet booze. Shall we, for once in our fucking lives, do some correspondence.
Yes. Tell me their word.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time. Someone called Miss Georgia has signed us up for something called Yesterday's Farmhouse.
Georgia, Farmhouse. Well, as in, like, did she just put us on a mailing list?
I think so, yeah. It's just the ways to decorate your farmhouse.
Farm tat? Did they have farm tat?
Yes, maybe that's why. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why. Fun email from Mike.
Mike! Yikes! It's Mike's.
He says, hi, Poo and Pee. Classic, yep.
Yep. Good old stuff.
Phil's early wanking story. I'm very new to the pod.
Oh, you're going to have to narrow it down there, Mike.
He says, he literally says, if he doesn't remember, it's when he met a friend of Ivo Graham in his flat.
Oh, yes, yes.
After just having a wank, yep, and he didn't want to shake the guy's hand.
The guy reached his hand out and said, hi, I'm Jim. And I just looked at his hand and I went, yeah, okay. I mean, I did the right thing. It would've been funny if I just went, hi, Jim, and just shook his hand.
Like, and then wouldn't let go, smiling rigidly. Eye contact.
Like we were making some blood pact.
You and I are brothers forever now, Jim. Bet you didn't think that would happen today. We are bonded, you and I, forever. So he says, Mike says, the worst thing that happened to me was that I was milliseconds away from finishing and I suddenly got really bad cramp in my thigh.
Ugh. Horrible.
To the point where I was screaming in pain.
Yikes.
The spunk just went everywhere as I was grabbing my thighs.
No, wow.
And I was no longer in control of my penis. This was in no way a pleasurable experience. I'm not now suddenly into getting cramp whilst coming.
Oh, that's bad luck. That's bad luck. What happens just as you're climaxing is just bad luck. Because once a horse is bolted, you can't pull it back. And it just has to happen while whatever else is happening is happening.
Yeah. The idea of like having both hands on your thigh like an injured sailor while your flailing dick just sprays. Like a hose, he said, almost. He says the spunk just went everywhere.
God.
As you grab your thigh and go, ha! Ah!
It's like the spunk knew the thigh was going to cramp up and it's like, we're getting out of here.
Yeah. The thigh was doing a distraction so they could get away.
Yes. Don't worry, guys.
Okay, now go.
I'll distract him. Hey, Mike. Ah! Go.
As all the spunk escapes, they look back over their shoulder and the thigh just like winks as Mike's grabbing it. Like a dying hero. Mike says, probably the most pathetic moment of my life. If this hadn't happened, I didn't even think it was possible or probable. Koji, until you get cramp and stop, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. It's a good jacket story.
Thank you, Mike. Someone signed us up to Match.com, I think.
Stop signing us up to stuff.
What is this? It's a sort of a pretty Eurasian lady.
Oh, I'm listening.
Reply from Robert sent you a message.
No, he didn't.
On Match.com.
No, he didn't.
My recent inquiry with Match. Hi, Maria. Maria, stop signing us up to Match.
Oh, it was Maria.
You're no longer a Match member. Your membership has been terminated. Well, whatever message Robert sent, it must have been pretty horrible. Your account has been terminated. You can't be on Match if you're under 18.
Oh.
So your account's been terminated. What is even happening?
Why are we getting someone's Match rejection email?
Why would someone traffic themselves on Match using our email?
Huh. Interesting. In case they got caught, I suppose.
Well, I guess, but you know, you're already breaking the law. We were very popular on Match.
We were.
Well, I mean, nominally us.
Right. Yes, I'm sure we would be. Two nice guys like us.
Two sweet boys.
Yeah.
Do you think we'd be more popular as a pair? As a sort of throuple pair?
Right. I think we'd lose a lot of the mainstream crowd who are just looking for a single person.
Yes. Or what do you think if it was two of us looking for two people for some reason? But for some reason, only as a pair. Why would that happen? I wonder what would make us do that? I'm just scrolling through. I'm just deleting all the spam from Match.com. There really was a lot.
Maybe we've been matched with another podcast. Is there a podcast?
Oh. What podcast would you like to match with?
I would like to match with the Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh.
The Joe Rogan Experience. No, that's the only podcast I can think of at the moment for some reason.
Well, it would be good, like, just for general number of listeners. Like we could probably, if he mentioned BudPod, we could probably get like 10 million listeners and then 500,000 would stay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
they'd listen, and at no point would we talk about how strong chimps are or anti-vax bullshit conspiracies.
He must have more listeners than like CNN has viewers or some shit by now.
Yeah, he's got so many, like it's mad. He's the Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk of bros.
Of podcast, yeah.
He's the Genghis Khan of bros.
Do we have any emails that are not spam?
We do. I'm just so that one from Mike was actually from like 4 days ago. So I was a bit naughty. Now I'm scrolling all the way back. A great and horrible email from Jane.
Okay, the great and horrible. Jane, the great and horrible.
Yeah. It's called Putanic in its subject line.
Okay. Okay, so it's a big ship made of poo, I'm guessing.
Well, maybe. Dear the Piddler and the Caped Pusader.
Very good. I like that a lot. And it's
very
Batman.
Nice.
It's Batman.
Yeah, it's Batman. Have
you seen the new Batman trailer?
I have, yeah. Duct tape sounds.
Duct tape sounds?
Right at the start, it's the duct tape sounds. Or is that the old trailer?
That's old. There's a new full one.
Oh, really? Oh, fuck, I haven't seen it.
Oh, I like the look of it. I like the look of it.
Is it good?
It looks cool. It's just Robert Pattinson just looks mental as Batman. He just looks like... He's just crazy. He's like screaming and shit. It looks great. I've always wanted to see a Batman that just like lost his mind.
I'm into
there
that.
There is a danger it's going to be just too emo, but
yeah.
Hopefully they'll have got the balance right. The aesthetic looks really cool. I think they've actually taken a lot from the Arkham games, it looks like. And it's quite comic booky. Yeah. I'm optimistic. There's a Selina Kyle storyline in it, which I always kind of think... I just kind of think Catwoman doesn't work a lot of the time. I just think it's like... I don't believe that they're romantically interested in one another. It just feels a bit naff, but maybe they'll make it work.
She's always stealing diamonds, and then she still just lives in like a flat. I never understand what the point is.
Yeah, she just kind of looks at them, right? She just sits in her tiny one-bedroom apartment and just looks at the diamonds and goes, ah, you've done it again. If only there was a practical use for all these jewels I have.
If only there was an easier way to afford all the cat food I need for my many stinky cats. Dear the Riddler and the Cape Crusader... says Jane. Jane says, I became a BudPod Pistorian around the start of 2020.
Great.
Thank you. And after a strange experience listening to the BudPoo episode during my first pandemic trip to Sainsbury's, recommended the pod to my boyfriend Tom, and now he's a Pistorian too. yes, another Tom. It will not shock you to learn he is in his early 30s. Yep.
Makes sense. Yeah, it's the name of our generation. Tom, Matt,
Alex, Tom, Alex. James, and Matt. Yeah. Alex, Tom, James, and Matt.
Oliver is the big name this year. The ONS popular baby names just came out. Olivia and Oliver.
Really?
Yeah. The Olives are doing well.
The Olivers are back.
Yeah. Olivers are
coming. Gosh, okay. Interesting. The attached piece of pandemic tat popped up in an advert online, and I thought I would share it with you. So just, I'll describe it to you, Phil. It is a pandemic face mask.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, will remove for something, exclamation mark. What do you think?
Food.
No, no, no. It's tat, remember?
Oh, Prosecco.
Close.
Gin.
Close.
Wine.
Closer with Prosecco.
Wine.
Think fancy.
Think fancy. Champagne.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank
a little fancier than Prosecco.
Yes, yes, yes. We'll remove for champagne. Delightful.
Yeah.
Delightful.
Mm-hmm. And completely contrary to the instructions from the governmental health department.
Yes, that is not the guidance.
Citizen.
That is not the government guidance to remove for champagne.
Citizen 731, you have removed your mask for champagne.
Report to the re-education lounge. I don't know. I don't know why it's a lounge.
Lounge. There's no need to be uncomfortable after all. A lounge. A free education. So Jane says, I'm also writing to share Tom's poo story.
Oh, great.
It was 2008 or so. Bring, bring. It was 2008 or so, and Tom was at university during what he describes as the bum-bum years.
Oh, poor Tom.
In the holidays, he would catch up with school friends while at home and had an ongoing prank war with his friend James.
Lovely.
They would take it in turns to play an escalating series of pranks on each other.
I never got into pranks myself. I do like to hear about good ones sort of performed by yeah. people... who like them, two people who like them, but I never got into it myself.
Yeah. Yes, there's a good way of doing pranks, but it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
One morning, Tom woke up at James's house following a night out, during which, in Tom's words, Tom had probably done something annoying.
Yeah.
Very suspicious.
That's the fear.
Probably means he definitely did.
Yeah, when you have a hangover and you have the fear and you just think, I did something annoying last night, didn't I?
He was the last to rise to the sound of some furtive giggling and general conspiratorial noises from his friends.
Ugh, not a nice way to wake up.
On Tom's way back from the toilet, James announced that he had made Tom a cup of tea. Apparently this was out of character, and so piqued Tom's suspicions, as did noticing the tea bag was still in the mug. As Tom brought the tea to his lips, the reason the tea bag had not been removed became clear. No longer weighed down by the tea bag, and disturbed by the movement of the mug, a small brown nugget emerged from the tea's surface.
No!
Yes. Tom found himself inches from a poo-berg, now bobbing innocently atop a contaminated brown lake.
That's not a prank. That's just the fall of civilization. That's not a prank.
Awful.
That's like assault.
That's verging on a crime.
That's indecency. Come on.
How do you pop out a little poo in a mug?
How do you stay friends with someone after they do something like that? This is why I never got into pranks.
You pranked me. You are an enemy now. Yeah.
God.
I guess it would have to be, like, if someone did this to you out of nowhere, you'd probably try and kill them with your bare hands. But if it was escalating, as they say, then God knows. What
right, okay, yeah. It was an arms race. It's escalation, yeah.
Brinksmanship, yeah.
Brinksmanship, sure.
With an okay thank you, the contents of the mug, turd nugget and all, were hastily deposited down the sink. From that day on, if James was annoyed with someone, they were unceremoniously served their drink in the same mug. Keep up the good work, and please do keep jacking it, Jane.
Oof. Ugh, yuck. Sometimes I'm glad I don't have friends. Hearing stories like that, I go, "Huh, I made the right decision not to have friends."
Are you claiming to not have any friends?
Well, I don't know. Whenever I hear about people and how much time they spend with friends, I go, "Oh, I guess I don't have friends. I just don't." You know what I mean? And like, friends seem to be so central to so many people's lives in a way they just aren't in mine. Or like, being spending time with friends seems to be like, so people talk about, "Yeah, I saw with my friends the other day." I was like, "I saw a friend maybe 3 weeks ago."
I think it's just different. Like I think you and I discussed this the other day. Like, some people's definition of like, "Oh, that's my friend," it's like someone who they've known for like 3 months, and who they don't know that well. Whereas like, with some people, it's like, especially like men of a certain generation, they go, "I have two friends, Jimmy and my barber."
Yeah.
And I don't see either of them. Jimmy's dead. You know, it's that kind of thing. So it just sort of depends, I suppose.
I think my parents never had many friends. I think maybe I get it from them.
Well, your parents are both like Batman-style loners.
A little bit.
Your parents stand as silent sentinels atop a darkened city.
Yeah, together. Just stood next to each other on their own roof.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, no. Yeah.
Do they post Instagram captions going, "Standing silently like a sentinel atop a darkened city troubled by crime with this one"?
With this one. I was really obsessed with that meme with this one. And I almost started like a recurring joke on my Instagram, because I did one picture with like this ridiculous statue of a lion. I just read, type, you know, "An amazing 3 years with this one." And I should have kept going with it, because I just find it's just such a funny thing to say about something that's obviously not your partner.
Yeah, just doing it with sort of a shoe or a desk, anything like that.
Well, thank you. What was the last writer's name?
Jane.
Thank you, Jane and Mike, for your
revolting
story.
Thank you, Jane and Mike, and thank you, listeners, and thank you to the Podbuds who were in Brighton last night, and the people from the gig last night who, as a result, are now listening.
Yes. If you're there. Jane and Michael, by the way, are the names of the children in Mary Poppins. Jane and Michael Banks.
Oh, I was thinking they were very much How to Learn English names.
Yeah. Jane and Michael went to the supermarket. Michael found a poo in the tea aisle. Yeah.
But yes, thanks very much, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Have a good one, everybody. Much love. See you soon.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.